Welcome back, everyone, to the How to Write a Book podcast. Today, we have a wonderful, wonderful guest, Jyotsna. Oh, it was a pleasure to talk with her. I mean, the journey that she had from figuring out that she was going to write her first book and to now creating her own company that serves authors in multiple ways. It is a dream for me on my side because that is what we do, and we only hope to strive and create that same amazing atmosphere that she has created for her clients. So I'm excited to dive in. Before we do, just a heads up for those of you who have been awaiting the re-release for my dictation book, which was up a couple of years ago. Then I took down, I believe, right after the pandemic, so that I can do some rewrites. That is going to be coming out at the end of April, beginning of May. So keep an eye out on the Amazon page for my profile, and you will see that up there. So if you want to pre-order or you want to get a chance just to dive in and learn all the dictation tips that I've learned to help me write, then that is the book for you. All right. Thank you so much, everyone. I hope you're having a wonderful day. Remember to keep writing. Remember that resistance will always try to find an excuse so that you don't write. But when you show up, you are winning. All right, I'm excited. Let's dive in.
Welcome to the How to Write a Book podcast, the show that helps you plan, write, and publish your book, even if you're a beginner or just feel like one. Now, for your host, she's written over a dozen books and helps others bring their books to life. Here she is, Maciel.
All right, and welcome back to the How to Write a Book podcast. We are so happy to welcome Jyotsna Ramachandran. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Maciel. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, I'm super happy to have you. One, because your book is very timely for my needs. I will tell you that in a minute. And not only are you a writer, you've interviewed some great people for your work, which I thought was so cool. And you have your own publishing company. That's amazing.
Thank you. It all started with the book, actually 8 years ago. And I'm so happy that you found me because usually people like to interview new authors whose books are just coming out. But I was pleasantly surprised when I got your message that you wanted to interview me because I published my book, Job Escape Plan, in 2015. And that book changed my life. So I'm so grateful to the book and I'm happy to revisit my journey with you.
Oh my gosh, I love this. I love this already. I love your story. I love us, the energy. Before we even begin, why don't you tell everyone, you know, about you and, of course, about your book?
Sure. I'm an entrepreneur from India. I started my journey as an entrepreneur 12 years ago after I quit my job that I didn't like too much. And right now, I feel I'm really blessed because I run a global publishing business from my little home office in India, and while raising my two kids and also helping my husband with his coaching business. So I feel I'm able to do so many things because of the online nature of my business and because I wrote a book. And the book led me to so many different opportunities like TED Talks and all of that. We'll talk about all of that. Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. No, I saw your book and, I'm currently also in the position where I started a new career, but I'm like, you know what? I just want to go full time. Let's jump into it. So I saw your book and I was like, this is exactly what I need in my life. So thank you for writing it.
Thank you. Thank you. I didn't write the book after becoming a super successful entrepreneur. I was barely 2-3 years into entrepreneurship. But I had managed to do a few things which people wanted to do and they didn't know how to do, especially the whole process of quitting their job and starting something. So I felt that instead of waiting for another 20 years to become the go-to leader in my industry before writing a book, let me just share whatever I knew, even if it could just help a few people.
And did you start off as an entrepreneur in a different industry or was it related to writing? What was that first step for you?
So I was an employee in the retail industry before I quit my job. But after I decided to leave my job, I wanted to start a business before instead of trying and looking for another job. And the first idea that came to my mind was a staff recruitment agency for the retail industry. Because of the experience and network I had within that industry, that was like the lowest hanging fruit. So I thought, why not just start a recruitment agency? So I ran that for 2 years. So that was my first business. I was really happy by the way it was growing. And then I became a mom. And that is when my life completely changed. And I realized I could not be running this business because it did not suit my lifestyle where I wanted to stay at home for at least a few years. That's when I started looking at how does one start an online business? Because if it could be an online business, it would give me the freedom and flexibility to work from home. And that's when I stumbled upon this opportunity, which was a big opportunity back then, 8-9 years ago, of publishing several mini books on Amazon and making royalty off those books. So I learned from a lot of people in the US and Canada as to how they are doing it. Back then, I didn't have the confidence to write my own books because I had not written anything so far in my life. The last time I ever wrote something was probably some essay in school, but I'm not a trained writer or something. So I didn't know that I could write. So I just hired ghostwriters and I put out several titles on Amazon. These are mini ebooks and they started doing pretty well. And that gave me the confidence to shut down my recruitment business and solely focus on these fast selling books on Amazon. And after doing that for about a year, I realized that a lot of people are now asking me, what is it that you're doing from home? How is it that you're not going to work and still making money? So I thought that a lot of people are not aware of the opportunities online, which is why I took the courage for the first time and wrote my own book called Job Escape Plan.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I could totally feel that when you're in a situation and you're like, you know what, I'm not happy. This also doesn't fit my lifestyle. And you, having the flexibility of working from home, I mean, that's amazing. And then on top of that, writing, of course, I'm biased. I love writing. So I'm like, yes, you go for it. You publish those books.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So you have the ghostwriters. You have the book, and then you have your book, Job Escape Plan, The 7 Steps to Build a Home Business, Quit Your Job, and Enjoy the Freedom. What was that process like? Was that a little bit different from your other self-published works, or did it follow the same pipeline?
The process is totally different because for the first time, I'm writing something on my own, and I didn't know that I could write. So before that, it was pretty easy. I would just find a hot selling topic and outsource it to a ghostwriter. They would do their research. They would do the writing. I would just flip through it once and get it published. So that was a different process. Today, when I look back at it, I would never publish such books ever again because that was a, you know, lazy way of doing things. And very soon after writing my book, I'll talk about my process in a bit, but after I published my book, I realized that sharing your own story is so fulfilling, right? Because you are putting out your message to the world. And that gave me a lot more joy than those other books that I published just for money. Mm-hmm. So then I realized that helping other authors is going to be much more gratifying than just hiring people and putting out books. So that's how I, you know, went into happy self-publishing. So coming back to my writing process. So what I initially did was whenever I don't know something, I always look for help and I either learn from people who have already done it or either if I can do it directly or I can take some course or if I can read a book or listen to podcasts. So I'm a huge believer in learning the right steps before doing anything. Mm-hmm. So when it came to my book, I joined an online community of authors based in the US. And once I joined the mastermind, I understood what was it like to write a book. So each author has their own methodology, but the few things that I did right, I would say, were firstly, I decided what's going to be my purpose for writing the book. Because when we have a strong why, it's going to make sure that we reach the finish line. So I decided that my purpose is going to help, it's going to be to help all those moms who are stuck in jobs that they don't like because they needed the money. So they did not know what better they could do. So my mission was to tell them that there are opportunities out there. You just need to open your mind and seek those opportunities. So that was my main purpose. So once my purpose was very clear, the next thing was I needed to be sure who my target reader was. So I created an avatar for my reader. I gave her a name. I knew exactly where she was working, what she was doing, what were her pain points, what are her aspirations. So I wrote that down. And once I decided who my reader was, then I decided on that book's topic. Because that particular reader can have hundreds of problems in her life. And as an author, I can't be solving all those problems for her, but I can do this. I can address a couple of things that I have personally been successful with. So, and that was to leave my job and start a business. So I therefore decided that I'm going to help people escape jobs that they don't like. So the mistake a lot of people make is they quit their job out of frustration and then they start looking for opportunities, which is what, by the way, I did. But I was lucky that things worked out pretty well for me. But a better way would be to start something on the side, preferably an online side hustle, and then grow it to a level that it generates enough revenue, which is higher than your day job salary, and then you comfortably leave your job. So that's what I wanted to address in the book. So once I decided that's going to be the topic, I created an outline. An outline is super important. Otherwise, I would have been writing for months. I remember I just took 53 days to write my book because I had a very clear outline. And back then, my daughter was just a few months old. So she would need me throughout the day. So I would wake up at 5 to 6 a.m. in the morning was my holy hour to write the book. So I would just write whatever comes to my mind based on the outline. And once the major part of the book was written, I would say 80% of the book was written, then I decided that I'm not the go-to expert when it comes to online businesses. I still had a lot more to learn. So for the 7 different things I talk about in my book, I interviewed 7 different people. One for podcasting, one for creating an online course, one for Amazon dropshipping. So that way I just identified people who've done it really well, reached out to them, showed them my book's cover. I designed the cover very early on, even before I could finish writing the book, because it really helped me to get inspired every morning to finish the book. And it was also helpful for me to tell the world that I'm writing a book. So they started to take me seriously, and these people agreed to be interviewed on the show, on my, I didn't have a podcast back then. It was just for the book that I interviewed them. So that's how my process was, Nasia.
Oh, I love that. That is so cool because it's so structured in how you approached it, which is something that I love. You know, you had a plan, you created that plan, you worked the plan. Now, you said something that I absolutely adore, which is there was a place where your knowledge wasn't quite filled yet. And so you went to go ask people to help you fill in those gaps. Now, what was like the internal trigger that was like, I just don't know enough about this? What told you that you needed that help?
That's because I felt that I cannot, give a half-baked product to the world, right? It has to help people take some kind of action. So I felt that my online business was pretty simple. I was just finding topics, finding writers, and publishing it. So that's the only experience I had, which was about a year of experience. But I felt that was enough for me to qualify myself to write a book. I don't need a PhD to write a book, nor do I need like 20, 30 years of experience, because I knew I was a few steps ahead of my readers, because my readers are still stuck in a job that they hated. So that was enough. But then for me to have a very wholesome book, I felt that ideas and inputs from other people would really help me validate whatever I was teaching in the book. So when 7 other experts told that, you know, yes, whatever is the process that I explained works, and it worked for them, but each of their businesses was slightly different, it kind of gives people different perspectives, right? So everybody need not publish ghostwritten books like I did. Another person could get inspired by somebody else and take that path. So I just wanted to give people options, which is why I decided to reach out. And another reason, to be honest, was I felt that when I interview somebody, I'm sure 9 out of 10 times people would like to share it with the world once the book is published. And that could be a great way to market the book as well, because if they are going to tweet about it or share it on their social media or email list, it's going to give instant publicity to my book. So that was another selfish reason to interview those guys.
That's a smart marketing, tactic. I love that. I mean, because, yeah, you're bringing other people onto this train. They get their name on another piece of work, which is always helpful. And I'm just curious, how did you approach them? You know, you have some amazing people's names, you know, on your book, and one of them being John Lee Dumas of Entrepreneur on Fire. What was that like? Was it an email pitch? You said you had the cover already. How'd you go about that?
Well, I had some kind of connection with some of them. For example, I must be following their work, and you know, back then blogging was a big thing. So I would comment on their blogs, or I would leave a nice 5-star review for their podcast. So that way I kind of started the conversation a couple of months before I reached out to most people. Mm-hmm. But when it came to John Lee Dumas, I had never reached out to him for anything else before. I just thought, let me just try my luck and write to him. And within 24 hours, I got a yes for an answer. And I was pretty surprised, because even 8 years back, he was pretty big. So I think what really worked was I didn't use a template. It was a very customized pitch for each one of them. And I explained how their expertise would add value to the book. Mm-hmm. And they may be getting requests from many people. So I made sure that they believe that this is going to be a good quality book, which is why I attached a 3-dimensional cover of the book. So it looks real, because a lot of times people get interviewed and it never gets featured and they don't want to be wasting their time. But here I actually attached my book's cover, and I also told them, you know, by the way, this guy and that guy are also getting interviewed. So it just added more credibility to my ask. So I think that kind of helped me get a yes from most of them that I reached out to.
Oh, that's great. You had specific people in mind, you know, very like, this is who I need. And that helped you to be customized. Yeah, I love that. That's fantastic. I love how you went about that. So then you get your book done, you publish it. Now tell us, how did your life change? You mentioned that it totally changed you, changed your business. What happened next?
So soon after the book got published, I started reaching out to podcasters to interview me for the book. So I got interviewed by a podcaster from Armenia. And after the interview, she told me, you know what, I know a lot of authors who want to publish their books, but they don't know how to go about it. So you seem to have created a good quality book. It doesn't look self-published. It looks very high quality. So can you just help these author friends that I have? And likewise, I got similar requests from people in the author community that I was a part of. So one important thing I forgot to mention in the writing process is, from the author community, I found an accountability partner for myself. And we would get on calls every week. And he was a financial advisor from New Zealand. He was at that time about 75 years old. But, you know, we connected so well. And every week we would get on. Back then there was no Google Meet or Zoom. So we would get on Skype calls. And we would hold each other accountable. And that was also a factor that helped me finish the book. So like him, there were so many other authors in the community who had finished their manuscript, but they were finding it really tough to identify a good cover designer, a good editor, a good formatter. But thanks to my ghostwritten books, I already had this team in place. I already knew who the, you know, good freelancers were. So I felt that a good way to help these authors would be to bring these freelancers I knew together as a team and assign a project manager so that the authors don't have to coordinate with 10 different people, and provide it as a service. So I started with smaller services like cover design, like editing. And then I realized that most authors need a lot more than just one or two services. So I then started to package them into high-value packages, and I started Happy Self-Publishing that way.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, I'm just curious, why Happy Self-Publishing?
So funny thing, I just wanted the word self-publishing in my company because I'm a huge advocate of self-publishing versus traditional publishing, because you have a lot of advantages as an author. You get to retain your rights and royalties. You have complete creative freedom. Once the book is published, you get to use the book in whichever way you want to market your business. So there are so many advantages.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah, you're back. Sorry.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So that's why I wanted the name self-publishing there for sure, because people should not identify me as a publishing house. I don't want that. I wanted them to understand that I'm a service provider for authors who want to self-publish. And then I was looking at different URLs on GoDaddy.com to find a good URL for the, because it's more important to get the domain name. Because what if you find decide the company's name and the domain name is not available? So I started searching for different domain name options. And my end goal is that the whole publishing journey has to be a happy experience for the authors. And that's why I just tried Happy Self-Publishing and it was available. I grabbed that domain name and I just, back then I also learned how to do websites. So the most important asset I created for my business was I did a website in a couple of days, just put together a WordPress website and I was in business.
Nice. I love that. I love how you're just taking action, you know, because that's something that I feel a lot of people, and not just writers, but people can kind of get stuck on, you know, like, should I do this? Overwhelmed with this? What about this? And they can just stop. They can just hit that wall. But it sounds like you were pushing forward. You were taking that momentum. Now, speaking of, was there ever a time that you felt maybe overwhelmed or you felt like, oh, am I the right person for this?
A lot of times, actually. So I think during my initial days, I would work for such long hours. And that's when I started questioning myself that it shouldn't be that my day job was better than my business, right? The reason why you quit your job is so that you can have the freedom of time. And it, of course, in your initial days, you need to set up a lot of things. You need to set up processes and you need to give that time to the business. But the business cannot become your life. And that is when I realized that I cannot be the only person running the business. If I continued doing that, I would get burnt out and I would probably decide to shut everything and go back to whatever I was doing before. I didn't want that to happen. So I decided that I needed to have a strong team. So my first team member who joined me in my recruitment business still works with me. She's going to complete 10 years with me in April.
Oh, wow.
And she was like the pillar of support for me right from the very beginning. So I told her that, you know what, I know you know nothing about publishing. Neither do I know anything. I just have the experience of publishing one book, but I'm going to teach you whatever I know and you're going to become my project manager. She said, of course, I'm open to learn and grow. So that's how she became the project manager. And as soon as she joined me as the project manager, I now did not have to coordinate with authors anymore. They sign up after they have the initial call with me. But after that, the project manager has to handle everything. So coordinating between the editors, cover designers, formatters, the publicists is done by the project manager. So she will be the bridge between the clients and them. And then I started recruiting more and more people for the right tasks. So initially it was scary because, you know, salaries and all of that is there. But then I realized that you don't need to have full-time employees in the very beginning. So all my staff members in the initial days were contract employees. So let's say a cover designer does 10 covers a month, he or she would get paid for those 10 covers. The next month, if it's 3 covers, they'll get paid only for those 3 covers. Mm-hmm. So that really worked very well. But later on, I think about 4 or 5 years after I started the business, I realized that I needed some stable people who are with me all the time. That is when I decided that the core team members who are in the projects team will be my employees. So right now there are 7 of us who are full-time employees of the business, but I still have my contract employees who've been working with me for the last 8 years, but they are still, because they don't work with me full-time. They do their other freelance tasks and other things. So they also have that freedom and it gives me also the freedom in terms of the cash flow and things like that.
Oh, wow. I love that. So instead of feeling overwhelmed, you got help, you got assistance, which, you know, that's such a good thread to add, which is allowing people to come into your space, you know, whether that's having them read your work or having them support you or marketing or self-publishing needs. So you brought those people in. Now, one of the things sometimes I find is, you know, oh, am I the right person to do this? How did you handle those negative self-beliefs?
In terms of, am I qualified to do this kind of thing? Like, am I the right person to even start this kind of business?
I think it's just anything. And that's just like my go-to self-doubt. But like, you know, just any self-doubt that hits you, whether it was about your business savvy or your writing or, you know, leaving, like you left your job, you know, any of this, that big, you know, everyone has like that one voice that's saying like, this is, you can't do this. I would love to know how you tackled it.
Yeah, that's I think a self-doubt that keeps coming up, however, you know, big your business grows. So from time and time again, whenever that little voice inside me tries to pull me down, I have to consciously recognize it, first of all. I recognize it that it's not me telling me, it's my fear that is telling me, and that is not me. My mind has the role to protect me so that I don't make big mistakes and get hurt. That's why the mind is protecting me. But that need not be the real truth, because, you know, that's telling it from past experience or society's conditioning, but that's not the real truth. So one thing is I look up to other entrepreneurs who I look at as inspiration. I closely follow them. I read their books. I listen to their podcasts. So every day when I walk, there's some podcast or the other that's running in my ears. So that way it's like, you know, you take bath every day, so you get inspired also every day. So that's something that really works. Another thing is I look at the reason why we are doing what we are doing. So if it is only about me, then very soon all these negative thoughts are going to pull me down. But then I also look at the end results of our work. So it's not just, we are not just helping authors to create their legacy, we are not just helping them put their message into the world, but their books are getting read by thousands of people. And when these authors write back to us after a few months as to how their book has gone and impacted the world, impacted their life, I realize that our work is not just about me and my team alone, but it's about so many more people. So when I look at them, automatically it charges me, and I immediately drop all those negative beliefs.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, I love kind of what I'm hearing as well, which is that it's still there. That negative self-talk is still there, but you have found ways to say, I'm going to find my why. I'm going to understand who I help, so that you can push that voice back down and you can continue forward.
Very true. And this is something that we tell our authors as well. So most authors go through this self-doubt when they are writing the book. So I tell them that this idea of writing a book doesn't come to everybody. And even if it comes, they wouldn't have started the process. The very fact that the thought has been planted in your mind by some divine grace, and the fact that you have taken the action to start the journey, shows that you are meant to write this book, because otherwise it wouldn't have come. Secondly, they are not just writing the book for themselves, they are writing the book for the reader. So it is our moral obligation to share our message, to share our knowledge with the world. And the book is one of the ways to do that, one of the most powerful ways to do that. So I think when we look at it from the point of view of the reader, instead of thinking about it from our perspective, automatically that switch happens and we get charged up.
Oh, that's so powerful. I love that. It is your moral obligation to finish this book, because you have been picked for this book.
You're the chosen one. Yeah.
You're the chosen one. And if any of us read books, we know that the chosen one is exactly the reason why you pick up that story, because they need to get to the end. They need to defeat the dragon and win the battle. You're the chosen one. I love that. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I know that's going to pump up some people. So my next question is something that you mentioned towards the beginning of when we first started here. And you mentioned that your book has also changed your life and that you're doing TED Talks. What are some of these cool ways that you're now expanding in your business that you didn't expect before?
Yeah, speaking is definitely something that I thought will happen much later in my entrepreneurial journey. But, people really look up to authors, which I did not realize till I wrote a book. Because I was the same person, right, a few months ago. But then the minute the book got published, people start looking up to you as a very knowledgeable person, which is a good thing, because then a lot of opportunities start opening up. So I was covered by newspapers, by magazines, by television in my city, by radio channels. And what I love about podcasts especially is it has a global reach. And once I was doing all of these things little by little, I had this one goal personally, to be on a TEDx stage. So I thought, I can't be waiting for another 5 years for this, for people to miraculously find me and invite me. Let me go and reach out to people. So I went to TED.com and I made a list of the upcoming events in my country. And I think I shortlisted 10 of them, and I reached out to all of the curators because TED actually gives you the name and the contact details of the curator of every event. So I reached out to them, and I guess I sent a customized pitch. I told them three things, I guess. One is that I'm an author, and I attached the details of my book because that instantly gives you that credibility. And secondly, by that time, I had already started my YouTube channel. So that kind of will give people an idea as to what kind of a speaker I am because they can see me on video. So I gave them the link to my YouTube channel. And thirdly, I did a little bit of research, not too much actually, on what was the theme of that particular TED event. And I customized my topic to suit the theme. And I told that, you know what, in some places I would say that I can talk about productivity while working from home. In some other place, I would talk about how do you multitask as a mom working from home. You know, basically, it's kind of the same thing, but then I will give it a unique twist based on the theme of that event. So that way, I pitched to several of them, and I heard back from 7 out of 10. I thought that was a great number, you know, 70% reply rate. And out of that, 3 people agreed to have me on their podcast, and out of which 2 events actually happened where my dates matched with everything, and I actually spoke on those 2 stages. So that was my process of going on TEDx Talks. So I would really, again, attribute a lot of this to the book, because if the book was not there, I would not have the confidence to reach out to these people. So it really kind of helped me.
Yeah, that's amazing. It really does. You know, I think that when there's this authority that happens, it's because people can see you physically, not just that you're an expert in that topic when you write the book, but also that you are full of perseverance or you can follow something through. Mm-hmm. So having that physical copy of the book that says, yes, here's the book. I mean, it says so much yeah. beyond just a subject matter expert. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, I love that. One of the things I wanted to go back to is going back to your self-publishing company really quickly. I would love to know, what are some of the most common or biggest mistakes that you see new writers make?
New writers, I first of all, they don't start with the end goal in mind. They write, I mean, there's nothing wrong in just writing every day just for the fun of writing. But if you really want to publish a book and you don't have a process, then you're going to get frustrated and it's not going to be fun anymore. 6 months later, you'll be angry at yourself that, oh my God, I haven't written anything substantial. Yeah. If you're just going to use it as a journaling process, then by all means, don't have any structure. Just go with whatever your heart says, because that is the goal is different, right? You just want to put your heart out into the paper. So that's a different thing. But if you really want to have it published as a book, then you really need to have the fundamentals in place. The purpose for writing the book, who is it for, what's your book's topic, and what's going to be the outline. Whether it's fiction or nonfiction, I think the basics are pretty much the same. So that's one mistake that a lot of writers make. And also, positioning the book is really important for the book to sell well. So a lot of times people think about what they know, which they can write in the book. What is their life story that they want to share? But instead, thinking from the a reader's point of view makes a lot of difference, because it has to be easy for the reader to consume. So we specialize in business and self-help books. So we teach our clients to structure the book in such a way that it is an easy to understand methodology for the readers. You know, you can either put it in steps or modules. So that really helps rather than talking everything about your life. So even if somebody is writing a memoir, we ask them to pick one specific event from their life which they want to expand, which can have a big impact on the reader, rather than talking from the time you were born till now, because that would be an autobiography. And people would enjoy reading something like that only if you're a famous personality. Otherwise, they're not interested in where you were born and what happened, right? So keeping the reader in mind is also something that's super important. And also kind of having an idea of your word count is something that's really important. A lot of people don't know how much they should write, and that is why they keep writing forever. I have known authors who've been writing for 10 years and they've still not published their book because they don't have these basic things in place. So for nonfiction, we tell our clients, like, write anywhere between 30 to 50,000 words. If it's fiction, it can be definitely a lot longer. But then having some kind of an idea, and if you want to know how to find that out, go and look at other books in your topics. You will kind of know how many pages are those books. And from that, you can roughly estimate the word count. So that will kind of help you, you know, to stay on track, have a writing tracker, and people don't have all of that. So, you know, when people go on a diet plan, they monitor their measurements every week. But similarly, when you're on a writing plan, you're also supposed to be monitoring your progress on a daily or weekly basis. So these are some mistakes that writers make when they are writing a book for the first time.
That's brilliant. I love that you've set down the foundations, because you're absolutely right. Not having those foundations can lead you into so many different directions without a goal, without a finish line. And you're right. I see a lot of writers, you know, they bring in, you know, 120,000 word manuscripts for a romance genre. That should be like 60 to 80,000 words. And that just saying, you know, here are the limitations of this genre can help you create a tighter book, you know, something that's been cut down. So that's wonderful. You're starting at something that's a place that's foundational and also so important that influences the rest of your journey. Brilliant. So we're getting close to the end of our time. Now, I believe there's some topics that I haven't even touched with you yet, such as your podcast, things like that. So before we dive into the last notes here, what are some things that we haven't even talked about that you would like to share, such as your podcast?
Yeah, so I started Author Success Show a few years ago. My main goal was to interview other authors and learn from their journey, because each author has their own process and they would have learned at least a thing or two, right, while publishing their book. So that collective knowledge could not just benefit me, but my followers as well, which is why I started Author Success Show. And during the pandemic, I started Experts on Purpose, which is, again, something that could motivate authors, because a lot of authors have the potential to start a business. And interviewing these experts who are basically entrepreneurs who have a mission could inspire authors. So that's why I started the other podcast. So you can find the details on my website. But the other thing that I would definitely want to want some writers who are struggling to check out is our writing services, because every author need not be a gifted writer, right? I've seen so many authors who have the message, who have the intention to share it with the world, but they don't have the skill to write, or they don't have the time to write because they are running two businesses or whatever. So for those authors, what we have done is we've realized that some people need coaching, and if they have the right coach, they can write. They need that accountability and structure. So for them, we have book coaches in our team. And for others who are very clear that they just cannot write, we have angel writers. So these angel writers are very different from the ghost writers I worked back in the day. So angel writers are like what we are doing with me right now, Marcielle. They will just throw interesting questions at the author, and the author has to answer those questions. And all those questions will be based on the book's outline. And they do this over a series of interviews. And as at the end of the series, the book is written by the angel writer, making sure that the voice and the tonality of the author is retained. So that's another service we launched a while ago. And these two are great services for authors who don't want to write, or who need that extra support to write.
That's so cool. So an angel writer, is that a term that you created? I've never heard that term before.
I actually coined it. But, you know, finally, after I put it out on my website, I'm seeing it in so many places. So I don't know if I actually invented it. But then when I put it out there, we did coin it, because I definitely want to communicate that it is not ghostwriting, because a ghostwriter is just commissioned to write on a particular topic. They do their research, they do everything. But here, the expertise comes from the author. The angel writer cannot share their point of view. Yeah. They have to listen to the author and write what the author has to say.
Oh, I love that. That is so cool, because that's actually how I helped write the basis for a memoir for someone. I just interviewed them, and I'm trying to get their voice. And that is so cool. I love that.
Back then, what did you call yourself as?
Ghostwriter. Yeah.
Henceforth, you are an angel writer, Maciel.
I should have. That's way better. Does that sound cooler? But it makes more sense. You're right. It just fits. Ghostwriting is kind of different from that other, which is angel writing. If that's okay, I'm gonna say angel writing. Go check out Happy Self Publishing for your angel writers. I love that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh well, this has been wonderful. Now, can you tell everyone, where can they find you, where your podcast, your company, everything about you, where can they go?
Sure. I have a free resource to share with your audience, Maciel. I feel a lot of authors get stuck because they're not able to narrow down on their book's topic. So I've created a cool video called Topic Selection Formula. So you can go to happyselfpublishing.com/TSF, which stands for Topic Selection Formula, and you can access that video. That could be a great starting point for those who are confused about their book's topic. But for everything else, if you just want to have a chat with me on the publishing process or how do you market your book, you can go to happyselfpublishing.com/call and schedule a call with me or one of my team members.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so much. This has been not just inspirational, but I've learned a couple of things in the show. So I know that other people are going to enjoy this as well. Everyone, this has been Jyotsna Ramachandran, author of Job Escape Plan, The 7 Steps to Build a Home Business, Quit Your Job and Enjoy Freedom, or Enjoy the Freedom, and also owner of Happy Self-Publishing. This has been wonderful. Thank you so much. And we can't wait to collaborate with you again to power your next books. And from the How to Write a Book podcast, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much, Jyotsna.
Thank you so much, Maciel. I just loved your questions and I totally enjoy this conversation. Thank you.
Oh, me too. This has been great. We'll do this again.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of the How to Write a Book podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy the conversation. If you want to keep up with me and my work, check out the website, blackheartedstudios.com. That's www.blackheartedstudios.com. And follow me on Instagram at Maciel Writes. That's at Maciel Writes. As a book coach and publisher, I'm passionate about helping aspiring authors bring their stories to life. So if you've been dreaming of writing a book and don't know where to start, head to my website and let's chat. You get a free 30 minutes on me. Thanks again for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. I'll see you in the next episode. Thanks.